This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The president ought to handle this is compartmentalize it and focus on doing your job. We've got issues with Syria. We've got a balanced budget amendment we're passing this week. We've got a lot to do, and that's what I'm focused on. We have put our majority in a good place because we have gotten a lot done. It's making a big difference in people's lives. So I'm confident we're going to be able to hand. I'm going to be able to hand this gavel over to another Republican speaker.
Yes, that is Paul Ryan, and that is a big story. Paul Ryan announcing his retirement. What? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Just so young, so full of what you thought was going to be a long career in politics, and for now, ducking out. He's announced he's not going to run for re-election, so Republicans are going to have to try to fill that void in order to keep their majority. In the meantime, then it's about who steps into the role. He's going to finish out the year, and he adds his name to 37 other Republicans. Can you believe it's been that many who have either announced they're retiring or running for a different office? Democrats, if you're keeping score, are defending 19 seats, open seats. They would need 23 to win control of the House, just saying, right? So you got Congressman Keith Ellison, a Democrat from Minnesota, saying, I think Republicans know it's going to be rough around here in the fall. I think they know things are going to change. So the Democrats are optimistic. As I mentioned, Ryan stepping out, retiring, says he told reporters he did not want his three teenage children to know him as a weekend dad. His father died when he was a teenager. So he told members his plan. He said that he would wait till the end of the year. And I think they're going to miss things about Paul Ryan. And one of them is his ability to raise money, because he is a machine. He was a machine in raising money. There's no question about it. He dumped a lot of money, transferred a lot of money to the House Republicans campaign arm is what they call it. And that is huge for the Republicans. When you know, there's just some people that are great at fundraising, and he's certainly one of them. And he's out, and certainly there it was smooth sailing in some ways, and it wasn't smooth sailing in other ways for Ryan. He certainly had a different vision than the president did for the party, that's for sure. So now what? You had Ryan, you had Congressman Dennis Ross from Florida also announced he was going to retire on Wednesday, and that was a popular district where, I mean, if you look at the presidential race, President Trump won Ross's district by 10 percentage points. So we'll see what happens and where that wave goes, but is a huge, huge story. And I say America Tonight is what's happening in your backyard and what's happening in mine, and this is one of the things being discussed. But I would say edging out Paul Ryan just a little bit, although it might have worked in Mark Zuckerberg's favor, is the story about Mark Zuckerberg and the fact that he testified, and in testifying, he talked about Facebook and where Facebook is at, where privacy is concerned, because of Cambridge Analytica. A lot of people are pulling out of Facebook altogether and saying they don't want their information breached. So the CEO weathered a lot of pretty pointed questions about privacy and his company's power. It was 10 hours. Woo! What can you do with 10 hours? Sit in your suit? And I've never seen Zuckerberg in a suit. He was in a suit with a blue tie. He didn't look like you'd normally see him at all. But he was pretty careful with his testimony. And because of that, if you have a 401k, it didn't get rocked during the day because the stock actually, Facebook stock actually went up, and he played the whole technical geek to his advantage, I think, because any of those lawmakers, they weren't well-versed into trying to dive into anything complex with technology, and you'd have to know, understand it, and dive in the right way. Otherwise, he wouldn't, they wouldn't connect. And in fact, even Senator John Kennedy, a Republican from Louisiana, told Mark Zuckerberg flatly, just said it, that his user agreement sucks. And he said, "I'm a little disappointed in this hearing today. I just don't feel like we're connecting." "We're not connecting. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me." So in the past couple of days, there's been a lot of conversation about the internet and privacy and how far you're willing to go and all that stuff. And it goes back to data collection and everything else in between. But Zuckerberg knows he's got to be careful because his Facebook got rocked. They got absolutely rocked, and they have a lot of power. When you have billions of people who are using your product, you have power, and Facebook does. It's how people communicate. They check in. They look at whether it's Fakebook, and people are making things up, and their life looks perfect. It doesn't matter. You can make all the jokes in the world, but they definitely have a crowd. And they have been talking about privacy, they being the people who represent us in Washington, yet very little has been, done. So, been done. Will they try to regulate Facebook? How do they curb the way Facebook can use the information, how the data of the users is building? There's been a big push for this. And is there a monopoly? That's the other thing that brings up for Zuckerberg. Because of, like I said, the amount of people who are hooked into Facebook. Is it so big, so large, so dominant? Boom. And we've seen this before. In fact, Congressman Bill Flores, Republican from Texas, he compared Facebook. I love comparisons, right? Nothing better than that. He compared Facebook to Standard Oil. And other companies that got so big and dominant that they had to break them up. And he was even asked, Zuckerberg, if he had a monopoly. Senator Lindsey Graham asked him that, and he said, "It certainly doesn't feel like one to me." But I don't know. There's some bad juju for Facebook, I think. And the FTC investigation could be bad for Facebook. Because they're talking about the 2011 decree with the Federal Trade Commission and the investigation into whether the Cambridge scandal breached the settlement. So delving into that could really turn something. If the FTC finds a violation, they could impose a fine of more than $1 trillion. While it's unlikely Facebook would be hit with it, they should be worried about that investigation, because what number would come up and what will they find? Coming up next, what have you been talking about? We're diving into the mailbag on America Tonight.
Time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361 for hot and cold therapy. sunny-bay.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
As always, thanks for hanging with us here on the show, America Tonight. You know, we're celebrating over 10 years, which is, gosh, so hard for me to believe. Honestly, I cannot believe how fast time flies. It feels like I've only been doing this a couple of years, and I want to thank everybody who has been around for that whole time, where some of you even recognized it before I did and sent me notes, and thank you so much for that. I mentioned New Orleans and the fact that we are on in the great city of New Orleans, and it's interesting because I've spent a bunch of time there, and it doesn't matter when you go. Whenever you go, there's just so much amazing history, and the buzz, I think the buzz, the vibe, the whatever you want to call it that you feel when you're there is just spectacular. I really do. And, you know, I'm sort of a citizen of the U.S., meaning that I feel like I've lived, why I can relate to so many of you is because I've had the privilege of living in so many wonderful places, at nooks and crannies in the U.S. And our friends on WWL are pretty interesting to talk to, because many of them have taken me around the city, but they're not the only ones, because, you know, we have such a great tie to, again, such a great tie to the people that are there because of WGSO. And WGSO 990 AM is such a rock, a power rock station to me for, again, the kind of programming they have there. We've had some of the people on the air from WGSO. We have so many great affiliates, but you really get a feel for the city when you listen to Jeff Cruer, my buddy, who's been on this show a couple of times, and if you're in that city, listen to him. And of course, we're proud to be on the air there every single night of the week, I believe. And again, it's just an interesting place. And the reason I bring up New Orleans is because they're celebrating, I didn't realize this, 300 years of survival. And what are they celebrating? Storms, floods, revolts, newcomers, everything. I read this great story, and somebody had forwarded it to me because they heard me talking about New Orleans, and they heard me talking about jazz, and they heard me talking about spending some time there and the street parades and all that kind of stuff. So throughout the city, there have been a lot of 300, the big number 300 signs that have been set up in plazas and parks and all that, and people were taking pictures beside them, which I think is very, very cool. And if you've never been there, if you've never been to New Orleans, do yourself a favor and put that on, I hate the word bucket list, if you've never been to NOLA, but put it on your list and make your way to the French Quarter and eat some of that great cuisine that they have down there. The Napoleon House is a great place to go. I've been there a few times, and it's just... oh, it's just so fun to spend time there. And maybe I'm thinking about it because, you know, I'm looking at places to take a quick getaway in the next couple of months. And that's one of the places I like to go and visit for sure. But besides New Orleans, somebody else had sent me a note. So big shout out to our good friends at WGSO and, here on the show, America Tonight. Now, we're celebrating over 10 years, which is, gosh, so hard for me to believe. Honestly, I cannot believe how fast time flies. It feels like I've only been doing this a couple of years, and I want to thank everybody who has been around for that whole time, where some of you even recognized it before I did and sent me notes, and thank you so much for that. I mentioned New Orleans and the fact that we are on in the great city of New Orleans. And it's interesting because I've spent a bunch of time there, and it doesn't matter when you go. Whenever you go, there's just so much amazing history, and the buzz, I think the buzz, the vibe, the whatever you want to call it that you feel when you're there is just spectacular. I really do. And, you know, I'm sort of a citizen of the U.S., meaning that I feel like I've lived, why I can relate to so many of you is because I've had the privilege of living in so many wonderful places, at nooks and crannies in the U.S. And our friends on WWL are pretty interesting to talk to, because many of them have taken me around the city, but they're not the only ones, because you know, we have such a great tie to, again, such a great tie to the people that are there because of WGSO. And WGSO, 990 AM, is such a rock, a power rock station to me for, again, the kind of, I think the kind of programming they have there. We've had some of the people on the air from WGSO. We have so many great affiliates, but you really get a feel for the city when you listen to Jeff Cruer, my buddy, who's been on this show a couple of times, and if you're in that city, listen to him. And of course, we're proud to be on the air there every single night of the week, I believe. And again, it's just an interesting place. And the reason I bring up New Orleans is because they're celebrating, I didn't realize this, 300 years of survival. And what are they celebrating? Storms, floods, revolts, newcomers. Everything. I read this great story, and somebody had forwarded it to me because they heard me talking about New Orleans, and they heard me talking about jazz, and they heard me talking about spending some time there and the street parades and all that kind of stuff. So throughout the city, there have been a lot of 300, the big number, 300 signs that have been set up in plazas and parks and all that. And people were taking pictures beside them, which I think is very, very cool. And if you've never been there, if you've never been to New Orleans, do yourself a favor and put that on, I hate the word bucket list, if you've never been to NOLA, but put it on your list and make your way to the French Quarter and eat some of that great cuisine that they have down there. The Napoleon House is a great place to go. I've been there a few times, and it's just so fun to spend time there. And maybe I'm thinking about it because, you know, I'm looking at places to take a quick getaway in the next couple of months, and that's one of the places I again like to go and visit for sure. But besides New Orleans, somebody else had sent me a note. So big shout out to our good friends at WGSO and so many great affiliates. But you really get a feel for the city when you listen to Jeff.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
You know, as we continue these conversations on Invade the Man Cave, who better to join me to riff about writing and the horror genre? And by the way, he's a master. I mean, he's a master. We'll talk about this in a second, but he and I did a book in like a week. I don't know if we want to tell everyone that because Brian can't do your book in a week. Or maybe he can, but yeah, I think he'd be overwhelmed. So you can hear him in the background. He's in my virtual green room. Brian Moreland, my pal, is the author of 10 horror books, several short stories. His books include The Witching House. I love that one. The Devil's Woods. I've read all of them. And Darkness Rising. You can get them on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, of course. What's so cool about Bri is he's traveling around Florida and he's writing a new supernatural thriller. In fact, maybe a bunch of them because that's how he works. Brian, thanks for hanging with me.
Hey, Kate. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so you have to tell us about this Florida thing. So you're traveling all around Florida. Do you have a favorite place that you can tell everyone? Like, what's the best, you're single, so what's the best babe-watching beach? Is there one?
Let's see. The babe-watching beach. You probably have to get down to Miami for that. South Beach may be a good area for that. But I really love, for me, I'm more attracted to the small, quaint beach towns like New Smyrna Beach, and Fort Myers has a really nice beach, and up around Sarasota as well.
Yeah, I like Fort Myers in Sarasota. Besides doing this thing behind the mic, I'm doing a speech in Fort Myers, and when they called me up, it was like a no-brainer. Are you kidding? Those beaches are some of the most beautiful beaches. And here's a secret, peeps listening. If you like sand dollars, like I don't know what it is, Brian, but I love collecting sand dollars here and there. I'm not pilfering the beaches, but there's sand dollars all over the place, like in Sarasota, if you go at the right time of day. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And right now, it's already like summer here. I'm in Orlando this week, and it's been up to 80, 90 degrees already.
Wow, 80, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. So you gotta tell us, it's 10 horror books and you're pumping them out and you're such a prolific writer. Why horror? Were you always attracted to scary things? What is it you like about it?
Well, I grew up watching horror movies as a kid, monster movies and sci-fi horror like Alien. And, you know, I even like some of the slasher movies of the 80s when they're done right. And, you know, there was such an adrenaline rush I got when I was scared. It like brought up some kind of primal fears. And I don't know, there's some reason things like going into haunted houses, you know, on Halloween or going to a real scary movie and everybody's screaming around you when the movie gets real scary, there's an adrenaline rush you get. And I tended to discover that when I wrote my own horror stories, I could create that rush over and over and over again, not for just myself, but for anybody who read the books as well.
Yeah, so I love that. You like the adrenaline rush. I think I'm like you, too. I like the adrenaline rush. I like the suspense. We were talking a couple days ago about haunted houses and about liking, like, you know my nephew Owen, you've met him, and he's 16, yes. And he does, even to this day, didn't as a little kid, but he doesn't like that whole suspense thing. So if you're going to jump out and you're going to be a zombie, he wants to know ahead of time. But I love suspense, and you do, too, right?
Right. Yeah, it sounds like he would prefer to see all the zombies sort of out in an open field with the sun in the sunlight, whereas I like to explore really dark places where it's more the unknown. You don't know what's hiding down in the basement or inside the old creepy house. That's what gets me going.
Yeah, me too. What do you think there's a difference? I mean, you're a writer, you see this, you talk to men and women. Do you think there's a difference how women look at horror movies and men look at them?
You know, I don't know if there's a difference between gender. Horror is such a personal experience, and everybody experiences fear in a different way. Now, I did go to see the movie A Quiet Place just a couple days ago with some friends, and there was a woman with us who loves horror. She's like, watches horror all the time, and most of the time I meet guys who like horror, but it's always a rarity when I find a woman who's just totally into horror. And I ask her, why do you watch horror? And she said for her, it's an outlet for like all the stress that she feels at the end of the day. She just has to put on a horror movie and just, I don't know if it's, you know, it's the violence or just the escapism into the sort of scary place that gets you, you know, kind of gets you into that fear state. Maybe that's a release for her. But I found that interesting that she took a whole different approach to watching horror movies than I did.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you remember the first horror movie you ever saw?
Oh, boy. That goes, let's see. It would probably be one of the black and white horror movies, like, you know, Wolfman or Dracula or something like that when I was a kid. Because they used to have creature feature movies every Saturday when I was growing up, and I'd watch them with my mom. One of the scariest movies I remember ever seeing at the theater was Alien when I must have been like 10 years old, and that movie scared me to death.
You know, it's so funny you said that thing about Alien, because I was a kid, we're about the same age, and I was a kid too, and I wanted to see it. Sigourney Weaver was in it, and I just kept seeing these little spots for it here and there, and I wanted to see it. I begged to go and see it. And I was scared to death when the alien came out of the ceiling. Remember that? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That scared me. I had nightmares, I think, because I had a hard time sleeping. I was trying to hide it from my mom because I didn't want her to let me, I wanted her to let me go and see horror movies. So I didn't want to say I was afraid, but I was afraid when I saw that. And you know what was good about that? And because we both like suspense, that was a suspense movie. Yes, there was a ugly monster, but he's not that monster. And what the whole alien thing isn't revealed all at once.
Right. And I went in completely not knowing what that movie was about. Like today, when you see a movie trailer, it pretty much shows everything and even glimpses of the monster. Whereas that one just showed, the commercial was just a close up of a kind of weird alien egg with light cracking through it. And then it slowly spelled out the word alien. And that's all I had to go on. So when I went in the theater and sitting there watching it. It was my first time to see what the characters looked like, what the ship looked like. And I had no idea even what kind of monster was in it. But boy, when they revealed it, it scared me out of my seat for sure.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And obviously you read it too. I mean, you're a writer, but do you have a favorite writer of horror, suspense, etc.?
Clive Barker.
Ooh, I like that. I've read a little bit of his stuff, but I haven't read those short stories. I'd love to read those. And maybe this is old school, and maybe because he's the first I read, but I don't know. There's something about Stephen King. I still like Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, I love Stephen King, and I've read several of his books and short stories as well. And he seems to be able to tap into what, the population or society is feeling in a given year, or he seems to be able to understand what's coming up that we're going to be scared of in about 2 years from now or 10 years from now, and he channels that, and he puts it in his stories. And it may be just about vampires or a killer dog, but there's always something underneath that I think connects with a large audience, which I think is why he's been so successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you go about when you decide you're going to write about something? How do you pick your topics and then work on the characters?
Yeah, for me, it's like I come up with a lot of times I'll come up with a title and maybe some kind of scary thing that I want to write about. And then I'll build my world and my characters around that. So sometimes I write the first scene, which I may not even know who the cast of characters is going to be in the story, but I got an idea for a prologue, how the first victim is going to be killed by this thing or hunted by this thing. And then I'll write that. And I'll get a sort of sense of the creature or the mystery or the setting. And from there, I'll just start with chapter one and start to build my character, my main character. And that character will evolve over the course of writing the story. It may even change from man to a woman, which happened in my last novel.
Wow. So even changing genders, that's interesting. So the key thing is you get to it, you have thoughts. Sometimes it changes, mm-hmm. which is really
yeah.
cool because then it's like about that. The whole journey thing. We only have a short time left. I could talk to you all day long, and you're going to be a regular. Anyone listening, we're going to have
sure.
Brian hang out with us a bunch. But your first book, what was that like when that was put together and you actually saw it in print?
That was an awesome experience. The first one was very personal to me. It was Shadows in the Mist, and it was based on my grandfather, who was in World War II. He was a war hero, and it was loosely based on him. I based my the relationship between the grandson and the grandfather at the beginning of the story, and then it flashes back to World War II, and deals with the supernatural, a platoon of soldiers, kind of like in Saving Private Ryan, who cross over into Germany and they confront something supernatural that the Nazis had created. And I actually self-published that book first. I attempted many times to get an agent and sell it, and when I couldn't do that, I self-published it. And, boy, when I held that book in my hand the first time, it was like, it was like a baby, it was like I birthed this beautiful thing. And it was a very emotional moment for me.
Oh, I love it. Perfect place to wrap this up because I know you got babes to look at in Fort Myers or Sarasota or over there, New
yes.
Smyrna, wherever. BrianMoreland.com. Check them out there. Bri, we'll catch up with you again on Invade the Man Cave.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Perfect. That was good.
Yay.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, yes, definitely I'll have you on as regular. We'll have a lot of fun because I think this whole thing's going to explode.
Yeah, and I think I'll get better as we get do more rips.
No, you were good. Yeah. You were good. I thought it was good. You played along and you had good stuff to say, so it was great. You were very
okay, good.
I'll send you a copy of it when we have it all processed and everything.
Sounds great to me.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Kate.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels. And as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol, biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that can be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, and to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki. Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.